1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Tuesday edition of the program, what will the Bears do with their quarterback position? It's a big question. We'll tackle it in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview with Mike North, the legendary Sports Talk radio host and a host on ESPN 1000. We talk with him at length about the Bears, their end-of-the-year presser, Mitch Trubisky, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. Need a little good news in your life? Well, here's the deal. State Farm has new lower car insurance rates in Illinois, so you can now get the service and convenience of State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt at an even better price. That's right, State Farm can help you save more cash and get the good neighbor service you deserve. It's the real deal for car insurance. State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt is ready to help you save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Ryan today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this question. Why do we never appreciate what we have right now? Why do we always want the next big thing? Why can't we be happy with what we have and grateful? Bears fans, I know, believe me, Nagy and Pace should not be back. 8-8 should not be celebrated. But right now, there's a big question surrounding the organization. Nagy and Pace said at the press conference, we're going all in on next year. And everybody who spoke said, we need more production out of the quarterback position. Everybody. And I told you before the press conference, Mitch would be the scapegoat, and he was. But here's the thing. Should the Bears be grateful with what they had in Mitch? Should the Bears be hotly pursuing Deshaun Watson? Is he worth it? Now, before you light me up, I will say this. Deshaun Watson is an amazing quarterback. He's talented. I'd love to have him on my team. Any team would be stupid not to take him. This is the problem, though. Matt Nagy is not a quarterback fixer. He's a quarterback breaker. He destroys quarterbacks. Tell me I'm wrong. He destroyed Mitch Trubisky. He did. And Mitch, to his credit, still did well this year, despite, you know, being benched, constant media criticism, coming back, winning, being undermined by everybody, having his receiver drop a game-changing touchdown pass against New Orleans, being blamed by everybody within the organization for their current position. He's been through a lot. And the best part is he still may want to come back. Who would you rather have next year? If the Bears don't get Watson, who do you want? Foles is already under contract. So if the Bears go with him, they'd be lying to everybody when they said, we're going for it all next year. What are they supposed to do? Will Deshaun Watson mesh with Matt Nagy? Based on past experience, I don't know if that's going to happen. I had Mike North on the program, and he brought up a great point on Watson. He's already in a dysfunctional, horrible situation. He wants out of Houston. Why in the world would he come here? Why would he leave one dumpster fire for potentially another? The Bears aren't at Houston's level yet, but they very well could be by the end of next year. Signaling is a big key in the NFL, in everything. You've heard me talk about it a number of times on this show. What signal does it send when the head coach who took out Trubisky blames him for the season ending the way it is? What signal does it send when your number one wide receiver, Allen Robinson, definitely does not want to come back? What signal does it send when everybody, media, fans, call for Ted Phillips to be gone, call for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace to be gone? It's a lame duck situation. Why would anybody from the outside want to come into that? Why would Deshaun Watson look at Chicago and say, you know what? I like what I see. I'm coming. Look, it's fun to go back and forth and to think, oh, maybe he'll come. Let's do a trade scenario. What could the Bears give up? It's fun to do that. And I'm fine with the Bears giving up 2-3 first-round picks to get Watson. I am totally okay with it. He's worth it. He is. But how do we know Watson has interest here? And if he doesn't, which is likely at this point, what will the Bears do at quarterback? Let's assume that they want to go all in. If they can't get Watson, who's their best choice? Definitely not a rookie, not a draft pick, no. Why groom a draft pick and hope for him to work out and be the next Mahomes when you have 1 year, essentially? And you're under Matt Nagy. That won't work. No cap room to sign a free agent, with the exception of maybe Tyrod Taylor. And trading. You could trade for Carson Wentz. That's about it. This may displease a lot of people, but if the Bears can't get Watson, their number one choice is Mitch. It's deja vu all over again. If they don't get Watson, if they can't do a trade, it's going to be Mitch and Foles again. And say what you want, we all saw what Foles did. We all remember. You may try to forget it. You might have been a Foles supporter. You may not want him. But guess what? I remember. I remember Matt Nagy choosing to bench Mitch Trubisky as an undefeated quarterback. I remember Nick Foles driving the Bears season, essentially, into the ground. And Mitch Trubisky had to come in and save the team again. That's right, I remember the end of the year, too, when everyone said, it's the quarterback position, that's our problem. Way to own up to your mistakes. Whether you're a Mitch guy, whether you're a Foles guy, we can all agree, the issue is not the quarterback position. That was not the predominant issue for the Bears in 2020. What it was inept coaching. Matt Nagy, that was the issue. Bad play calling, not committing to the run, making the quarterback switch, switching back, handing off play calling duties to Bill Lazor, then taking them back, and then splitting it. If there was no quarterback controversy, Matt Nagy would be the leading narrative all year for Chicago. Tell me I'm wrong. Coaches around the NFL are always scrutinized, but here in Chicago, Nagy really wasn't. No one dares to say he's a quarterback breaker or that he broke Mitch Trubisky. No one wants to say or call him out on the fact that he reversed his initial policy about play calling. Why? Why does no one want to bring it up? In other cities, with other teams, that's brought up all the time. But here, why not? So to all of you wanting Deshaun Watson, claiming he'll be the answer, if the Bears only get him, they're going 12-4, it's not that simple. Watson has been hurt. Watson this year, without a team, couldn't win. What do you know? The Bears will lose Allen Robinson. So Deshaun Watson's number one receiver, should he even come, would be Darnell Mooney. And then from there, who knows, because Wims and Miller are gone. No, he'll be fine. And to make matters better, he'll be under Matt Nagy. It isn't a quarterback issue. Whomever comes into this system is most likely going to fail. It's set up for failure. It's set up for losing and mediocrity. That's what it is. It's a shame, but it's true. Name me one NFL quarterback, elite, not elite, backup, whomever, who could come to the Bears right now and lead them to a 13-3 season just because of him. Not many. Maybe 4, 5, maybe. He'd have no receivers. He'd have a good running back who wouldn't be used. And he'd have a coach who would constantly try to undermine him. That, to me, doesn't sound like a winning formula. Sounds like 5-11. 4-12. I'd be the first person to be excited if Watson came. Don't get me wrong. I'd be excited if the Bears moved around cap room and somehow they got Phillip Rivers. Who knows? Those two things are very unlikely to happen. And if they do, remember, who's on the team? Who's calling the plays? What's their situation? Look at what happened in Houston. They trade away Deshaun Watson's number one target. He's playing with wide receivers who have been beat up all year. Two different running backs who both can't carry the ball more than 4 yards. Oh, yeah, and a new head coach midseason, and they went 4-12. Tell me how things would be 10 times different if he came to Chicago. Who knows? If Nagy starts off bad next year, he might get fired. He could be in the exact same situation he was in Houston if he comes here. How is that an improvement? How is that enticing for Watson? This guy's young. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He wants to be on a good team. The Bears do not scream that right now. That's why Watson, any other quarterback who's out there, it's going to be very tough to convince them this is where you have to be. That's why if Mitch somehow says, I'll come back, scoop him up and take him. What's the worst that could happen? Let him compete with Bowles. Let him compete with someone else. Have a three-man competition. Who cares? The star quarterbacks that you are perpetuating would come here, probably wouldn't. That's the problem. It's a dire situation. It's a shame. Remember these two, though. Even if the Bears do get Deshaun Watson, that doesn't automatically mean they're going to be a playoff team. Watson had great numbers this year. Couldn't win, though. You know why he couldn't win? Nobody around him. Absolutely nobody. Look at the Bears today. Is there anybody who would be around Deshaun Watson to impact the game? Don't say the defense. The defense didn't this year. They went 8-8. The defense has regressed. Guys are getting older. So what would help Watson win? No Allen Robinson. No receivers. Back to the Stone Ages of play calling with Matt Nagy. Watson may go the same as Mitch. 8-8. 9-7. Maybe. Just remember all this stuff. Don't hop on the Watson bandwagon. Go right through and believe everything that people are telling you. Remember the confounding factors that surround this team. As much as I'd like to say, if only they had a different quarterback, they'd be good, it's not true. No matter who the quarterback is right now, whether it's Mitch, Foles, Watson, whomever, it's not guaranteed that the Bears just win. They have so many other positions and needs that have to be addressed, including the coaching position, head coach. And they chose to retain Nagy. Fine. We've seen Nagy now for 3 years. Even with a different quarterback, I'm skeptical. What makes me skeptical is the fact that he did not conform to Mitch. He did not conform at all. Could he change with a different quarterback? Maybe. I wouldn't count on it. We saw what happened. Other coaches in the NFL, good coaches, conform to their quarterback. It's a star-driven league now. Quarterbacks are king. So to see Nagy not do it, that raises some concern. I'm just saying. You could be excited for Watson. I am. If he came here, that'd be amazing. I'd be all over it. I'll make a video about it. I'll be on the radio talking about it. But remember, it's not only the quarterback. And the quarterback, in fact, plays a very small role in how the team will do next year. Tom Brady could come to Chicago, and I don't know if he'd win 11 or 12 games. Not with Nagy, not with the weapons around him. Tom Brady down in Tampa right now has three great targets to throw to all the time. Two great running backs, a decent defense. They're winning. Here in Chicago, you'd have one okay wide receiver in Mooney, who just had a good rookie year. No one else. A running back who was never used, a defense getting older, and a coach who undermined it. It's not all about the quarterback. And this situation, I'm sure, will take many twists and turns. Rumors will be heard and spread, and we'll hear all about it. But just remember, just be level-headed. Understand. It doesn't matter who's behind center. It goes much, much deeper than that. And for the Bears' case, unless they address serious needs around them, not just the quarterback, they're never going to be a good team again. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mike North comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free dollars to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You must be 21 plus. You must be an Illinois resident, and you could bet $250 free dollars on any game you want. NFL playoffs, NBA, college basketball, it's all going on. This is, without question, the best chance you have to put down some money and make a whole lot more back. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a sports radio pioneer, host of The Odds Couple on ESPN 1000, and a contributor to the Bears Barroom Network. Please welcome Mike North to the program. Mike, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you, buddy? Everything going well?
Everything's great. It's great to hear your voice and great to have you back. What was your reaction to the Bears press conference last week?
Well, I thought that there was a disorganized as they've always been. They've never been good at PR, never been good at marketing. I think that basically what they should do is they should hire somebody, sort of like the president has a press secretary, somebody to handle the media or to give them advice. It just seems like they just go by knee-jerk reaction. I think that the one thing I will say to them, they said what they felt, no matter how it sounded to everybody else. And, you know, the one thing that I found amazing is that when George McCaskey said, no matter what, you could have a football person, but sooner or later it's going to have to answer to a non-football person, which was them. And until that changes, where you don't have to answer to them on certain things, I understand the money end of it, but until that changes, where the football people are left completely alone except for the finances, I think you're going to always have some issues, especially with the structure that they have.
How surprised were you that Pace and Nagy were both retained?
Well, I'm not a Nagy guy. I really am not. I thought what he did to Mitch was abhorrent. I really did. I coached for 6 years. I have a coach's certificate, coached at Notre Dame in Niles. I can't imagine setting a kid up for failure like he did. He called the plays for the first game, the second game, all while knowing he didn't want Mitch Trubisky. I think that affected the play calling. I think that also the first mistake that he really made when he yanked him showed his hand, if you will, and showed the conspiracy-like situation that Mitch faced going in, and yet he still won the job. Then he was told he lost the job and would not be back, and yet he's back. So they're in a quandary right now, because if they only have 1 year left, if they go get somebody else, and I don't think it's going to be anybody that good, if they try to play the postcard again and don't come back with Mitch, at least they can go down fighting with the guy they believed in supposedly from the beginning, or Ryan Pace did from the beginning, and maybe Mitch surprised them a lot like Baker Mayfield did this year, when last year Baker Mayfield threw 21 interceptions and they were going to drive him to the airport. So things can change in a year.
Let me ask you this. Did Mitch Trubisky save Nagy's job this year?
Oh, no doubt. I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday asked the question, who was the MVP? Allen Robinson, Montgomery, or somebody else. They didn't even name Mitch. And they wouldn't have made the playoffs. I mean, it's just a nonsensical thing. And I said, you wouldn't have made the playoffs without Mitch Trubisky. He's your MVP. Okay, now you can name the kicker. I mean, the kicker was great, too. Santos. Kyrel Santos was great, but the fact is Kyrel Santos is not kicking in the playoffs if Mitch Trubisky is not the quarterback of this football team.
How do you feel at the press conference when everybody said, quote, we need more production out of the quarterback position? Was that scapegoating to you? I thought it was.
Oh, there's no question. He's never been for Mitch. And, you know, if Mitch leaves, he's going to make the playoffs somewhere else. I mean, you know, that's just the bottom line. I just think that's going to happen. He's going to make the play. There's no doubt he's never stood up for him. He gives a little bit of faint praise, if you will. But Nagy's not a Trubisky guy. And yet Trubisky ended up saving Nagy's ass. Now, I don't know if Nagy's going to bring Mitch back, but by God, for doing just what he did now, he deserves to come back. And it sort of tells you what kind of guy you're dealing with Nagy, that he wanted to hurt or kill this kid's career.
Mike North here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, how do you feel about the report that came out that at the end of the year, Bill Lazor and Matt Nagy may have been sharing play calling?
Well, I could just tell by the plays. It just looked like to me against the Saints, and they all played bad in that game, all of them, that they basically went back to games one and game two from the pocket, not rolling out, basically predictable a little bit, and he shouldn't have shared the duties. But Nagy's got an ego. Nagy believes in the system. Look, Nagy's an arena football quarterback, okay, with a very high opinion of himself. And the bottom line is, I never believed in Nagy's play calling. When he called the one playoff game in Kansas City, it wasn't good. And to put it to you bluntly, Andy Reid doesn't hold that huge card in front of him because Matt Nagy or Eric Bieniemy are calling the plays, please.
Why was that not a bigger story? I mean, you'd think the media would be all after that, the fact that there was sharing of the play calling and no one knew about it. Why was that not covered, do you think?
Well, they don't. I mean, the media, listen, the Chicago Bears are very powerful. I think the media did a good job at the press conference, but for the most part, they've been missing in action for two decades, since the color days. I mean, they're allowing Mitch Trubisky to get beat up because most of them wanted Foles. And here's another thing. I mean, I saw somebody post the Bears record from 93 on against the Packers. Yet one of the guys that contributed to that record was Jay Cutler, who was 1-12 against the Packers. And these media people in Chicago couldn't wait to have him re-signed and be their guy. And they love him. And he had that little reality show, you know, and everything else. And you know, oh, he's great. I mean, you wonder about the people that are judging football players in this town. And what have they been listening or reading over the past decade where Bear fans want everybody but the guy that should be their quarterback and has twice as many touchdowns as interceptions?
Why do you think they don't like Mitch? Is it an organizational thing? The Bears make sure they don't want them to? Or why is it? Because he seems like a nice guy. He's done good things for this organization. Why would they want to take him down?
Well, I mean, you have to ask Nagy that. Why? You just got to ask him that. Has anybody asked him? See, this is what the difference. For me to get a Bear press pass would be a miracle, number one, even if I applied for it. People have been known to lose the press passes that I put in for, from the Bulls to everybody else. But I'll tell you this. I'd have to also leave the house. No, I could do Zoom, but I don't want to do that. Because then I'll be on with some of the softballers that have been softballing the Bears for years. But I would ask Nagy this. Why did you want to hurt Trubisky? Has anybody asked him that?
I haven't heard that once. Not at all.
Why don't you believe in Trubisky? That's all. Why don't you believe in Trubisky? Why did you try to destroy his career by saying he would never play again? Or by alluding to that? Nobody's going to ask him that. You got to have backbone. You got to be willing to take hits too in return. Bottom line. Wanstead and I went toe-to-toe, period. And it's interesting that Wanstead it took me and him decades to agree, but he agrees with me, and I guess I agree with him with his assessment of Trubisky. They were out to get him since day one. That's a former coach saying that.
What's the toughest question you ever asked Dave Wanstead?
Oh, my God. it wasn't really the tough questions that I asked. It was just, I knew he was in a bad spot. I knew he wasn't going to succeed. He was a New York Giant defensive guru. Okay. He was Jimmy Johnson's best friend. He was a Ditka-type clone with the mustache from Pennsylvania. You know, I mean, just look at the old pictures. And you know, plus he was coming in. He was following a tough act. Mike Ditka, I knew he'd fall on his face, and he did. I mean, I like what he's done with his career. He's resurrected it in broadcasting, and you know what? It's good for him. I mean, I heard him talk about Trubisky. Sounds like me. It's good to see he's starting to get some. He's getting those chops going.
Mike North here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, what was your take on the Chuck Pagano retirement?
Goodbye. You know. I mean, it reminded me of when Vince Tobin took over after Buddy Ryan. I mean, I see people rushing three people, four people against Aaron Rodgers, playing zone defenses, just letting them off the hook. People go, well, if you blitz, he's going to burn you. Well, you know what? At least you'll die on your sword. My God, you play not to lose against Aaron Rodgers. You're going to lose. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I just didn't see. I saw a lot of aggressiveness leave the defense once Fazio left.
Do you think the Bears should have kept him around? I mean, maybe today he could be the head coach for all we know if they had kept him.
Well, that's not up to them. They have an opportunity. They weren't going to hire him. But he was going to go. He was going to Denver offered him the job. I never thought I'd see it happen. You know, he didn't think it. I don't think he thought it would happen. I thought he thought his window closed. Nobody talks about that. He's an older guy, a little bit old school and stuff like that. But he was a hell of a defensive coach for the Bears. And sometimes a fit by a guy on one team is not a fit on another team.
What do you envision for the Bears next year based on all of these moves they've made so far and everyone they've retained?
Well, if they keep Mitch, I think they could surprise. I think that they could make the playoffs again. Twice in 4 years he's made the playoffs. I mean, Lamar Jackson's 1-3 and Mitch is 0-2. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not saying he's better than Lamar Jackson, but there's a lot of quarterbacks, especially today, that are waking up this morning that didn't look so damn good in the playoffs. So I think that Mitch has become a better quarterback. If they don't keep Mitch, they'll be 4-12. I don't care who they bring in.
Even Deshaun Watson?
Well, they beat him, what, 31-7, didn't they?
They did. Watson can move.
And Mitch outplayed him, didn't he?
He did. He did in that game.
So why would you ask me that?
Because on the
season. We want to correct a wrong. Oh, my God. You know, we've seen the newspaper shrink from 120 pages to 50 because of the people that are doing some of the writing in them. It's unbelievable. I mean, they want everybody but the guy they got who's damn good.
That's
He's not going to be Mahomes. Nobody is. He's not going to be Mahomes. He's not going to be Rodgers. He's not going to be either one. And neither is anybody else except one guy, Tom Brady. The genuflecting over everybody else is just nonsensical. I mean, Tom Brady's going to he's one game away from going to his 10th Super Bowl. Rodgers has been in one total. One. You know, Drew Brees, if it wasn't for a bad call, Minnesota gave them that Super Bowl. And if it wasn't for the Ram game with the pass interference call, he might have had none. He had one, and Drew Brees had one. Rodgers has one. Manning has two, Peyton Manning. And I got to hear the nonsense about who all these quarterbacks that I've heard they were all better than Brady, all of them. And yet you're going to have a guy. You're going to have a guy making his 14th. Listen to this. 14th. He's going to be in his 14th championship game out of 19 years.
Wow.
And he's been the... If he's one win away from going to 10 Super Bowls, that's half his career.
Right.
And I got to hear the nonsense about all these other quarterbacks. It's comical. I mean, really, you know what? Here. if what Brady's going to do, John, is if he wins the Super Bowl, Jordan couldn't do. It would be like Jordan going to the Wizards and winning it all. Brady is going to a team, an NFL team, with 52 different people than he knew, except for Gronkowski, with a whole new system that couldn't get out of their own way. And if he goes to the Super Bowl, Jordan can't measure up. Can't. Because football's a tougher game to be successful in. Michael was still averaging 20 points a game. But if Tom Brady leads the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a Super Bowl or a Super Bowl win, that's seven titles. That's more than Jordan's got in a tougher sport.
What does this season say about Brady and Belichick? I assume you would say Brady is the key cog to New England now, right, after all of this that's happened.
I've always said that Belichick's now the best coach that ever lived in the pros, and I've seen them all, from Lombardi to Shula to all of them. But Brady's the greatest player, quarterback, that ever lived.
Right.
And if you take Brady away, there's no doubt in my mind that Brady looked at New England last year. Brady also said, I played 19 years in bad weather. That's why the nonsense said, even though it was rumored he was going to come here, the weather was never going to be 80 degrees.
Right.
Okay. So what he has done is unbelievable to me. Even to in the first year. Now, Montana did it also with Kansas City.
Yes.
But so it's not like out of the realm of possibility. But he was younger than Brady, I believe. He wasn't 43.
No, he was in his late 30s.
Yeah. So this is just phenomenal. I'm rooting for the guy. I want to see. I'm not one of those guys that because life won't be complete unless Aaron Rodgers wins another Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers played in a very good era. So did Drew Brees. Drew Brees got hit hard once in his career, and they almost broke him in half. They broke like 12 of his ribs. So in the old days, he wouldn't have even lasted 5 years. He wouldn't have in the 60s or 70s. He was too small. He wouldn't have lasted. The rules were too archaic. That's why these guys last forever now. I mean, I think Rodgers could play until he's 45 if he stays healthy. Look what Tom's doing.
How do you feel about the rule change?
Oh, I loved it when they mangled him. But Johnny Unitas, I mean, he'd get hit savaged every week, and there he'd be back again.
Right.
He threw a touchdown in 47 straight games back when throwing passes was not the. You know, think about that. He threw 47 straight games a touchdown pass. Brees just broke it last year. Wait a minute. They didn't throw the ball back then like they do now.
Not even close.
And look what he did. That's why he's a top five guy. I mean, that's insane. 47 straight games like in the early 60s. You got to be kidding me. You know, some teams didn't throw 37 times a whole season. My God, the Bears for sure.
Mike North, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, how likely would you say Trubisky is to return right now?
Oh, I think it's 50-50 and the Bears will regret it. You want Nagy? What happens? Wait, we just went through this with Foles. I mean, so John, really seriously, are we going to take a chance with Jameis Winston or Mariota or Foles? Like, didn't we just go through this?
We did. I would hope they don't do it again.
Why would they? Only the Bears would want to do it again and bring the guy back that already screwed everything up. Nagy sabotaged the season. He's the only coach I've ever seen pull an undefeated quarterback out of the lineup and then sabotage his whole season by losing almost every game after that. And then they had to bring the guy back. They had to bring the guy back that they had no belief in. And the guy they had no belief in gets them in the playoffs, and now they want to dump him again. Only in Chicago would this happen for a guy that he beat 31-7. But I don't think Watson's coming here. He knows Mitch. You don't think he sees how the Bears are? You think he's just leaving one screwed up organization? He's better if he goes to Miami or somewhere else. You don't want to leave Houston, come to the Bears. That's a lateral move.
Is Matt Nagy a quarterback breaker?
Well, you ain't a quarterback maker. So what would that make you? What would that make you? I mean, this should go all over. This should go for this. This show should be on the Armed Forces Network. This show should be on satellite all over the world. This show is so hot right now. I mean, that's how I'm in a rhythm right now. I'm in a rhythm. I got you laughing. You're laughing after every question. You can't keep a straight face. That's how this thing is going.
Let me ask you this. How do you think it'll be framed by Chicago media if Mitch comes back?
Oh, they'll be against him. They have no guts. They can't even admit they're wrong. I mean, they couldn't even admit after the Foles thing. They're still sniping at him. Well, we didn't want Mitch. We wanted Foles. Oh, Foles didn't do well. Well, maybe we wanted Newton. We wanted Bridgewater. We wanted Dalton. We wanted Foles. Wait a minute. Okay, now that's over. Let's get somebody that Mitch beat by 30 and replace him with that guy. I don't care what Watson did. Watson finally had a bad team like Mitch has had for 3 years, and he couldn't handle it. Now he wants out making $39 million a year. Give me a break. And he's not you better have a line for him because his knees are – both his legs are not what they once were. I'm just saying. That's a tremendous chance you're taking by bringing somebody in from the outside. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I mean, Watson does have the numbers, but he didn't have a team this year. The number one characteristic to me for a quarterback is winning. You have to be a winning quarterback. And Deshaun Watson proved this year with no team around him that he can't win games. Mitch did with still no team and a coach out to get him. I think that's pretty impressive.
That's the one thing. I mean, don't think that the other players around the league don't know what kind of rat nag he really is. Are you kidding me?
Right.
They know. They saw what's going on. They know what happened. You don't think they watched TV and saw him get pulled when they were undefeated?
Exactly.
Not even giving them a chance? He made one mistake? I mean, you know, you hear Allen Robinson complaining about this team, and what am I thinking? The Bears aren't going to get a lot of big time free. I mean, Khalil Mack came here and now he's disappeared.
Right.
And all the money is spent on the defense. Only in Chicago in the year 2018, 19, 20, 21, would you spend all your money on defense where everybody else spends it on offense. I don't care if you're talking about Fuller, if you're talking about Mack, if you're talking about just the disappointment of all disappointments, Mark Carrier revisited named Eddie Jackson, who's just deplorable this year, just absolutely horrid. Their money's all sunk in with those guys.
Are you concerned about the cap situation next year? Because they're paying Nick Foles $20 million, too, on top of it, to probably back up.
See, that's why they don't deserve to be back, really. When you just say that one sentence. How come I knew? Here's what the media sold everybody on.
Okay.
Foles has done it before. He did it. He won the Super Bowl MVP. He's poised. They didn't tell everybody that he's on his fifth team in 9 years, that he was an $88 million bust in Jacksonville, that he's fragile. They didn't tell everybody that. They told only their side. And we see this in politics, entertainment, and sports now. You get one side of the story. And I kept telling everybody, I bet again. See, when I gamble, I see all the games.
Sure.
And when I bet, I see them all. And I dissect them all. I bet Jacksonville a couple times with Nick Foles last year. They were horrid. And when I heard the Bears were going to take him and make him a starter, I said, that's a mistake. So how come I saw that from the beginning and nobody else did? I don't get it. I'm just telling you, it's just unbelievable to me, this whole season, the way it went. We could have won 10 games. You know, I know people that had over 8.5 in Bear victories. 8.5. Yeah, in Vegas. That was the total.
Wow.
8.5. So you know who killed him? Nagy, when he pulled Mitch. Don't they win more games with Mitch at quarterback than 8?
No doubt. No doubt they do.
Yeah.
10, 11, yeah. Even 12, possibly.
I mean, I'm just saying that, and you know, two of the losses he has to go to Green Bay.
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, if you're going to judge people like that, then every team in the league when Jordan was playing if you couldn't beat Jordan, you should trade Patrick Ewing to get other people that might be able to beat him. No, right. Your best chance is with the guys you got. And they took him, almost beat Jordan a couple times. It was just his greatness that stopped him. That's what you're running into with Mahomes and with Rodgers. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, you brought in Jay Cutler. You couldn't beat the guy 11 out of 12 times.
Right.
And you had pretty good teams. So, you know, that's just one of those things. Just like the 80s Bears, Green Bay couldn't beat them. We had the better quarterback. If you look back, whoever had the better quarterback, McMahon, then Favre, then Rodgers. That's the way it went.
More to come with Mike North in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Mike North still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, two more questions.
I ain't going anywhere. I can stay here all damn day.
What's the latest on your movie with Adam Rifkin?
Well, I got to rewrite the script. It's good. It's good, but it's not great.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. He sent it back, and me and Jeremy Morrison are going to start soon about rewriting certain aspects of the script. We've done a couple rewrites, a rewrite already, but it's still not there. It takes time, man.
Sure.
And nothing's going on anyway because
right.
of COVID. So we're taking this time to get it as good as we can, because the thing that sells the actors and everybody else, John, is the script. Now, you watch, I told Adam, I go, Adam, I watch movies all the time. 80% of a blow. I go, how did they get this? He goes, you know, seriously. But he says, but you want yours to be great, don't you? I go, yes. And it's an autobiography, which is different. I go, yes. So, yeah, it takes time. And, you know, there's movies still trying to be made after 10 years. So we were ahead of schedule, and then this COVID hit. But that's also great because it gives us time to rewrite.
What's going to be the climax, or what's going to be a big part of the movie that maybe you can share without spoiling it, of course?
I think the big part of the movie is that it's just the story of success. It's the story of being down and out. It's sort of like Rocky and the Invincible. And I know Vince Papale, great movie. And I know Vince. But there's one difference. Rocky was a fictional movie. He wins the championship. Papale with the Eagles was unbelievable. Off the sandlot, played for 3-4 years, but only was on special teams.
Right.
What I did was like sort of have the vision of sports radio. Another guy ran with the ball, Dan Lee built it, but then I became the highest paid guy in sports radio history. So I was at the top. Those other guys, so it's sort of like Rocky and those things, only it's, I think the story is fantastic. There's a lot of characters you recognize in the story, from Ditka to Jesse Jackson to other people that you'll know. So the score personalities, but we still got to keep writing.
And Mike, before we finish up today, last question, what's your favorite Dan Lee memory?
Yeah, Danny Lee, well, my favorite memory was him walking in the first time into the hot dog stand and me saying, hey, Dan, I see here that you are going to go cool jazz or cool country. And I don't know what that's going to do, but you need a sports station in this town. That's the up-and-coming thing. WFAN's got it. There's about 12 stations in the country right now. And he said, eh. He says, nah. I go, I see you got WJZZ, so I think it might be jazz. I saw it at Peterscow. He goes, yeah. I go, well, when are you going to meet on this? He says, well, we're meeting on Monday. I go, you're nuts if you don't start a sports station. And that weekend, he went home, and he bought the Sunday Sun-Times and the Sunday Trip. And he went to the entertainment sections, which back in the day when the papers were absolutely stacked.
Right.
You know, great stuff. But there's only a couple ads. Then he went to the sports sections. And he counted all the advertisement in the sports sections. It was like 50 or 60. But the sports section back then was so thick. It was as big as the regular newspaper is now. Okay. So then Monday he met with everybody and they said, what are we going to do? And he says, we're going to do a sports station. They go, we don't know anything about sports. But they were all music guys. And he said, well, we better learn. Because he says, I know where the money's going to be. And that was good businessman right there. And that's what I remember. So I'm sorry. You know, he passed away. Danny was a great guy. We lost both guys, Danny Lee and Seth Mason, who were the brains behind all that scores today.
Wow. How did you feel when you found out about the news?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I never lost touch with him. A lot of people, you know, you lose touch, you know, but he meant so much to me and B. He made my life. He gave a guy that was a high school dropout a chance that nobody would get today. None. You tell me the next time. If you don't go to Syracuse or Northwestern, and maybe they should change that up a little bit. But seriously,
right.
back in the day, Steve Dahl was a high school dropout.
Yep.
Howard Stern wasn't great in school. They went for street guys. Now they go for the cookie cutter guys. And Danny Lee went to Sullivan High School. And he knew I went to Senn. And he had known me, and he knew that I rented time on his other radio station. But it was Ron Gleason's wife who heard me. He was playing tapes in the bedroom. Okay? And of different personalities.
Right.
And his wife was in the bathroom, which was adjacent to the bedroom. And this will be in the movie.
Okay.
And she heard my tape. And she goes, who's that? And he goes, that's some guy. He owns a hot dog stand. His name's Mike Norris. She goes, he sounds good. You should. That's the best one I've heard so far. It was her.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And she didn't know that I knew Danny and them.
Sure.
She just, but Ron Gleason was playing, like, you know, back then, if there was an opening at a radio station, you know, they'd get deluged with tape from people.
Right.
You know, and that's how it happened. I mean, that's how it all started. And then, the rest is history. Now I'm talking to you and having the time of my life. And it's been a lot of years later, man. I can't believe it's been like, well, next year will be my 30th anniversary on regular radio.
Wow.
So, I mean, the score started in 92.
Right.
So, yeah, it will be the scores in my 30th anniversary of being in broadcasting.
How much does that mean to you today?
Oh, well, you know when it really hits me?
When?
I'll tell you what. When I'm driving during the summer and the Cub game's on. Because we were told we weren't going to last 6 months. I was beat up so much by the press, but I did my beating up too. So it was an even fight. Believe me. I always told them, you could have the pen. I got the mic. You know what I mean? And we were a go-to. We were a destination. But to hear the Cubs on a station, that was my vision, and to have that vision turn into what it turned into, and then have the Chicago Cubs on that station where I worked as a vendor in 1969 and 70. That's sort of cool.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on, and best wishes here as the offseason continues for the NFL, and good luck with your picks, too. I see them on Twitter. You've been having some good weeks, so I appreciate the time.
Yeah, I've been having some good weeks, but you know what? You could turn into a hobo real quick, buddy. But right now, I'm the king. But believe me, I could be in a boxcar before you know it.
Great talk there with Mike North, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mike North himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTaub, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Until then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No!
Never the turn off!